The title of our message today is Jesus Real to You? Is Jesus real to you? And we want to ask ourselves that question. I want to make sure, did everybody get a piece of paper with a hand? Does everybody have one? Anybody did not get one? Raise your hand. Okay, there's 2, 3, 4. We need 4 more copies of the paper if we could, so that everybody could get one. I'm sorry if I didn't ask for enough of those. We've got a little outline today that will hopefully make it a little easier to remember the points of the message. If you look at your hand, you know that your hand is real. We say sometimes it's as real as the nose on your face, or as real as this, or as real as that. Is Jesus as real to you as your hand at the end of your arm? Is he as real to you as the person sitting next to you? Is he as real to you as these things which we think of as so clear and so real? If you didn't get one of those papers, please raise your hand. We've got, okay, got some over there. I will add in this connection that we will be having a special New Year's Eve prayer service here at the church on Tuesday night, January 31st, on December 31st. This will be an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus. And then the first Sabbath of the year, which is going to include a Friday evening agape service on January the 3rd with foot washing, and a Sabbath communion service on January the 4th. That's the first Sabbath of the year. What a great way to start the year in communion. This will be an opportunity to get a better picture of Jesus. And that's what the communion service is. When Jesus Christ draws nearer to us, we draw nearer to him. And communion is a wonderful thing. We take the bread. The bread is real, isn't it? We can handle the bread. We drink the cup. We serve each other in foot washing. This is a very sensory experience with all of our senses involved. And Jesus gave us this ceremony to remember him, because it's something that would help put it into our minds. It's something we do. It's not simply just sitting back passively. We act in it. We participate in it. And that's going to be an opportunity to get a better picture of Jesus. So I just mentioned that by way of looking forward to what is coming. We had a Sabbath school lesson today that focused on sacrifices in the Old Testament. It focused on worship in the Old Testament, how Jesus was revealed to people in the Old Testament. And our text that was one of the texts in the lesson is our text for the sermon today, John chapter 1 and verse 29. And so we want to look at that verse. That's going to be our first verse to look at today, John chapter 1 and verse 29. A time in which John the Baptist gave this message, he pointed to the Messiah that was in the midst. And we have his testimony, John chapter 1 and verse 29 is our first verse. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, was Jesus real to John the Baptist when he said that? He was. There he was, right in the midst. He could see him. He was the only one that was there at that time, the only one in the nation or in that group of people that could have said, behold, this is the Messiah, this is the Lamb of God. And so if you've got that hand in front of you on that piece of paper, you want to write above John 1:29 that we need to look to Jesus. That's the very first lesson that our passage gives us. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Look, as some other translations have it. Look, this is Jesus. Look to Jesus. And you could even put a little cross there, because where did they put the nails? In the hands of Jesus, but in the palms of his hands. And so that's the very most important thing that we want to do today. We want to look to Jesus and see if we can find out how Jesus Christ can become more real, more special, more precious to us as believers. You know, you don't have to be a believer in Christ to look to Christ. You can actually look to Christ without yet having a strong faith in him, and as you look to him, that faith will grow and that faith will develop. And I like to tell people who come to church, someone says, well, I'm not a believer. I say, you don't have to be a believer to come to church. You don't have to be a believer to consider the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you probably, hopefully, will become a believer in that process through the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. But what are some of the ways that Jesus Christ can become more real to us? The first one is in the thumb here of this hand. And by the way, this is Christopher's hand. Christopher here, raise your hand, all right? Everybody's looking at Christopher's hand. He helped me make this today. So in the thumb, we have something that signifies believe. And you want to write believe in the thumb. After you look to Jesus, you want to believe in him. Chapter 1, verse 33 and 34 gives us a good lesson in this. Chapter 1, verse 33 and 34. This is John the Baptist speaking. And notice, how did he believe? He says, I did not know him. Important words. John the Baptist did not know Jesus by sight. He did not grow up, you know, playing with Jesus when they were young boys. They were related by a blood relation, but they lived in different places. He did not know Jesus the way that you might think he did. He says, I did not know him. Well, how did you know John, to point him out, and he explains that, but he who sent me to baptize with water, this is God he's referring to, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So God the Father told him, you are going to see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus. That's how you're going to know that he's the one. And so the basis, and it says, and I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God. The basis of his faith was not a personal acquaintance. It was purely the word of God to him. And in turn, he pointed others to Christ. And this is a very good lesson for us as we think about this. John the Baptist's testimony was based on the word of God to him. Will we believe in the Word of God that tells us that Jesus is the Messiah? It's a matter of believing the Word of God. Now, there was a little bit of evidence that he was able to see, and of course, there was much more evidence later as Christ's public ministry unfolded. But it's a matter of believing, a matter of trusting. We don't want to get so much into critical thinking that we are no longer able to believe. Some of us are taught, and in the universities, they talk a lot about, you know, asking all the questions, being suspicious of things, not trusting. It's like scholarly to doubt and so on. Well, there may be a time to look into things, but there's also a time to believe when God speaks. And it is a matter of believing. We will see Jesus much more clearly if we can believe in him. You know, in John chapter 1, there was a whole group of people that came to John the Baptist before this incident that we're reading. Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, you know, they came to John. They said, "Who are you? And by what authority do you preach? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Or are you Elijah? Or are you the prophet that was predicted?" And they ask all these questions, you know, and he made clear, no, I'm not the one. Don't look to me. And it's emphasized over and over, look to him. He's the one. And they didn't look to him. They didn't stick around. They weren't there the next day when it says, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." They did not believe. And they did not benefit from not believing. They went on in their doubts. They went on in their criticisms. But by the grace of God, let us believe. Believing is a first step to getting a picture of Jesus. He reveals himself to those who trust in him. And if you've ever had an experience in your life where you just felt the presence of Jesus very close to you, I think you would admit that it had to do with trusting and believing. I'll always remember a friend of mine who shared with me that one time he happened to be on a school bus, and all the other kids were off the bus for some reason. I don't remember all this circumstances surrounding this incident, but he had to sit on the bus for some time, and he started getting afraid. He was alone. He was young, and all of a sudden he remembered the words of a song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." And he began to sing this song, believing, and he began to feel the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the process of believing, Jesus becomes real to us. The next one, the pointer finger here, is a text that talks about following. So you want to write the word follow in there. Follow Jesus, chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. We have the two disciples here that are mentioned. One of them is Andrew, as we will see. The two disciples heard him speak. That is, they heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And they, what does it say they did? They followed Jesus. And let's go to verse 38. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek? What are you seeking?" And they say to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, translated teacher, "where are you staying?" They wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to talk to him. They wanted to find out more about him. We don't read that the Pharisees did this. We don't read that anybody else, but we read that these two, and one of them was Andrew, and we'll get to that at the next point, but following Jesus, this is a matter of action, stepping out. We believe with our minds and with our hearts, but it is in the process of actually following him that we begin to see him more clearly. In obeying the Lord, we see the Lord in ways that those who choose not to follow, those who choose not to obey, will never be able to experience. Jesus said, "He who keeps my word and believes on him who has sent me, I will dwell with him, my Father and I, we will manifest ourselves to him or to her." It's a wonderful blessing in stepping out and actually becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will become very real to those who follow him. I had a teacher in the seminary who was actually retiring just about the time that I was a student in 89, 90, 91, Stephen Vitrano, some may remember him. And a book was published about some of the seminary professors and some of their testimony of how they came to Jesus. And I read this story many years after I attended the seminary, many years after I saw Elder Vitrano, but he told a very interesting story of how he was a talented artist as a young man. And he had enough talent that he could have been hired by a publishing company, and he went to an interview, and it was in a high-rise office building, you know, with this plush carpet, and it was looking like, wow, this is going to be some success here. And Brother Vitrano sat there for that interview, and as they went through some questions, when the interviewer found out, as he shared with him, I will not be able to work on Sabbath. I will not be able to work on Sabbath. Saturday. And he kind of explained the Sabbath to the man. And the interviewer just kind of leaned back and just laughed. And like, what? You think that you could come and work for a company like this under terms like that? And he just made it clear, sorry, but that's not going to work around here. And this interview really came to an abrupt, screeching halt. And as Vitrano, you know, kind of graciously finished up that visit with that interviewer, and he left the building, he went down the elevator, walked out on the sidewalk, walked to his conveyance. And as he was walking, he felt this feeling like, wow, this that I have experienced was very real. And this man has reminded me, not knowing that he was doing this, but he has told me and reminded me that my life is to be in harmony with Jesus Christ, and I am to continue following in his footsteps. And for the rest of my life, I will follow him. And Jesus Christ became more real to him in that incident than any other time in his life. And he gave his life to the Lord in a greater way, and eventually became a teacher at the seminary and blessed the lives of many young people going through training for service through the process of following and even paying a price for his obedience to God. Following Jesus will help Jesus Christ to become more real to you. If you're having difficulty seeing Jesus and just can't seem to get a grasp on spiritual realities, you may want to ask yourself, Lord, is there a possibility that I have one foot in the world and one foot with you? Is there a possibility that there are idols that I'm holding on to? You know, you can't see things clearly when you have distractions. When the moon is full, you can't see as many of the stars because of all the light. I was reading the other day, it was in the middle of the night, by moonlight at our house, happened to wake up and went outside, and I could read by the light of the moon, and I had this really strong shadow, very clear shadow from the moon, but I couldn't see very many stars that night because the light of the moon was making it impossible to see them. There may be some moon in our lives. There may be something that distracts us from being able to make a full, complete surrender to follow Jesus Christ. That may be why we can't see him as clearly. The next one, the middle finger, friends. Chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. Chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. We read about the two that heard John the Baptist, and here we're going to find out who one of those was. I already mentioned it, but here we have it. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And the next verse says what he did. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. So here you have Andrew. He's one of those that's standing by. He hears John the Baptist point out Jesus. His brother Peter isn't there. He's somewhere nearby because the record tells us that the first thing he does is go to his brother and say, "We have found the Messiah." And he brings him to Jesus. Now, I think that Peter owed a debt of gratitude to Andrew for that. It's possible that Peter may have never found the Savior if it wasn't for the fact that his brother, his friend and brother, came and helped to point him in the right direction. And if we have friends that know Jesus, it will help us to know Jesus. If we have someone like John the Baptist, you know, there may be only one person in the crowd that knows the Savior, and if we can get to know that person, it'll help us to know Jesus Christ. And if there are more, and that's the reason why we're here as a church. If we socialize with other believers, if we are friends with people who can point us in the right direction, it will help to make Jesus Christ more real to us. Countless stories could be told about people that have heard about religion. You know, they've seen the word repent on the rock that you drive by on the freeway. They've seen the John 3:16 sign at the football game. It doesn't make an impact on them, but when they can get into a close friendship with someone who believes in Jesus, it can make a profound change, a profound difference in their lives. Having friends that can point us to Jesus. That's the word to write there. Friends. The next finger before the pinky here, we're going to say this one is about reading or just read or learning. You could put that too. Chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Here we have the purpose that the Gospel of John was written. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But notice verse 31. What was the purpose that they were written, those that were written? "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We see Jesus in the stories, the accounts of the Gospels. Here, the Gospel of John, or Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And of course, Jesus Christ is revealed not only in the Gospels, but in all of the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all the way through. And then there are countless other books that are helpful with this, and the books of the writings of Ellen White are wonderfully helpful in understanding the gospel that is presented. These are simply studies of the Bible where texts are put together and comments made on those texts. And any kind of spiritual learning that we can do from the Word of God or reflections on the Word of God that other people put together, if they are true to the Word of God, these can help us to know more of the Savior. I always remember one time I was nervous about something that was coming up. And I went out, and it was the Gospel of John in this particular case. I went and walked in a park, walked all around the periphery of the park, and I had my Gospel of John, and I was just reading, is there something here that would help me? And I came upon a verse, and I don't even remember in this case which verse it was, but I remember that it ministered to my need, and I felt Jesus Christ very close to me, and I was strengthened to face the thing that I was going to face. I was strengthened by the Word of God. What about the picture of Jesus that the Gospels present? Is there a more beautiful picture of anyone than what we find in the Gospels? How could you not fall in love with a Savior after reading the stories of the Gospels and how Jesus treated people, how he ministered to people, how he was kind and sensitive to people, and his holiness and his purity blended with his compassion and his love and his strength. And of course, the most important thing, how he died for us on the cross. And much of the Gospels are filled with that. And the chapters have all of that, most of it on the cross. The things that Jesus Christ did to die for our sins, to make salvation possible for us. Reading the Word of God. What is the first thing that I read in the morning? Do I get on my computer and look on the internet? I have to confess that I'm sorry that there have been too many times that I did that. And whether it was the news or whatever it was, the news is not likely to give you a lot of spiritual uplift in this world. And I'm not saying that you need to be ignorant of it. There's a place to know what's going on, but we need something to give us strength to face the news. We need something that's going to make a difference in our lives that day. And if the first thing that we can focus our minds on is something of the Word of God, it will make a tremendous difference in our lives. Jesus Christ will become much more real to us than he would otherwise. I want to talk about the last one here for just a minute, the pinky and the finger, chapter 2, verse 23. And you can write down signs for that one. Signs, chapter 2 and verse 23, where we have the words of signs. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. So Jesus became real to many people when they saw the signs which he did. And there was one particular sign that was mentioned there in John chapter 2 was the turning of the water into wine at the wedding, the very first miracle that Jesus performed. Does that give you a little bit of a picture of the Savior? The very first miracle that he performs is to provide for the needs of a wedding, to provide something to drink at a party. I mean, you thought he would do something really serious, you know, or something very dramatic. But here we have our Savior who's concerned about the needs and the happiness of people. And he performed this wonderful sign. And I ask you, have you seen any signs of the working of God in your life recently or in the past? Have you had any blessings that have come your way? Have you had any good things that you can be thankful for? Has there been any bad things that have happened that actually, you know, in a short time you're able to say, you know, I didn't like that at the time, but it was actually turned out for the best that happened. Signs, look for the signs. We talk about looking for the signs. We need directions. Look for the signs of God's blessing in your life. Do you have family? Do you have friends? Do you have blessings? Look for those signs, and God will reveal himself to you. Keep them in mind. Do you remember the famous statement from the servant of the Lord? We have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget the leading of the Lord in the past and his teaching in our past history. We've got some wonderful blessings of God's leading in our church. We as individuals have wonderful blessings of God's leading and blessing in our lives. When was the last time you got a blessing from God? You may be in a lot of darkness today. Look to the place where you last saw the light. It will make a difference. These are some of the ways that Jesus can become more real to us. I had the privilege this past week with my lovely bride, Olena. I call her my bride, even though we've been married for almost 18 years, to attend the pastor's prayer conference. There is one event of the year for pastors where it's not about business, it's not about programs, it's not about the finances of the conference or of the churches. It's about prayer and praise and fellowship. And we went to a conference center where about 30 or so pastors and spouses all gathered together. And while we were there, one of the pastors shared a testimony of a man. I'm going to call him John as a generic name. This is not the real name of the person, But the pastor shared the story of John, who had grown up in a broken home, and a stepfather had come into the home who was not very nice to young John and made life really hard for him. And as John, as soon as he got old enough, he ran away from home. And he went up to Alaska, and he worked hard in the fishing business. And one of the things that John really tried to do as he got into life and as he got on his own was to prove that he was a good person by earning as much money as he could earn and sending money home to his mother and to his other family members to let them know that he was a good person and that he had made something of himself and that he had worked hard, and he was always trying to prove himself. And he knew that if you want to get anywhere in life, you got to work hard, you've got to earn it, you got to step out on your own, especially the way he did in his circumstances. And somehow, this John came into association with the pastor who told the story. And the pastor shared with us, he said, "I tried really hard when John came back to the Northwest from being up in Alaska to minister to him. I sat down, we opened up the Bible, we tried, you know, I showed him the scripture, I showed him the beauty of the Savior, and there was just nothing that I could not get through to John. He just couldn't come to the place to believe that God's love and grace were actually for him. He believed that you have to earn everything, and you've got to work hard, and he'd become very proud, and he had this bravado about himself. And he said, there was nothing that I could do. It didn't make an impact. Well, as time went by, eventually, there was a retreat that was held, a men's retreat of this particular church, and John was invited to come. And he came to the retreat. And one night, during that retreat, as these men were, you know, staying in these different cabins at this camp where they were having the retreat, one of the members of the church, who was, of course, another name, woke up in the middle of the night, and he had met John, and he just began to cry, and he began to feel this overwhelming urge to pray for John. And he shared this the next day with the pastor. He said, "Last night I woke up and I just felt like I had to pray for John. And I was praying and I was crying." And he said, "This is not normal for me." Through the influence of the friendships there, the fellowship at that retreat, John came to be able to see Jesus. And he gave his heart to Christ. He became a believer. A short time later, he was baptized, and he is an active member of that particular church, of the pastor who shared that story. We see how believing made a difference, even though it was a struggle for him. We see how having friends who were believers made a big difference. We see how looking at life and how God had helped him in his life, and I wish I could hear more of his story to hear more about it, but many of these components that we've spoken of today were at work in the life of John. And I pray for myself, for my children, for my family, that we will see Jesus. What the world needs today is what it needed 2,000 years ago, a revelation of Jesus. And I know that many people will never see Jesus. They will never walk inside of a church, but they might see Jesus in a person. And I hope they can see Jesus in me. But I won't be able to reveal Jesus unless I'm looking to Jesus as I continue to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by his saving work, dying for us, resurrecting, interceding for us in the heavenly sanctuary. Let us trust, let us believe, let us follow, let us surround ourselves with fellow believers. And if the time comes when we don't have that blessing, let us remember that what a blessing it was when we had those fellow believers around. Let us store our minds with the stories of the truths of the character and person of Jesus Christ. Let us look for the signs of his love for us, and Jesus will become more and more real to us. On December 25, the whole world is going to remember the birthday of Jesus. It's interesting that even the secular world celebrates this holiday like the biggest holiday of the world. Will we have a clearer view of Jesus this Christmas than ever before? I pray that we will. Let us trust in him and believe in him, and let us sing as we finish our worship service today a hymn of faith in this Jesus that we worship.
Please stand as we sing O Come All Ye Faithful on page 132.
Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.